Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. This week, I've partnered up with realestate.co.nz, who's kindly lent us their expert, Vanessa Williams, and we're talking about how you can learn to read the tea leaves of the property market, make a smart prediction on what's coming next. Making Sense is partnered with realestate.co.nz to get you the info you need in today's market. Property hunting can be a bit of an emotional roller coaster with its fair share of stress. That's where realestate.co.nz comes in. They've been helping Kiwis buy, sell, and rent since 1996, and their app is designed to make it easier and faster. What sets them apart? Flexibility. Realestate.co.nz gives you so many ways to search and so much information to help you make decisions. Realestate.co.nz. Download the app today. Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by KiwiBank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Now, Vanessa, hard to know what's coming next with anything in life, really, but there are ways you can peer into the crystal ball and make a smart prediction, right? So that's what we're doing with property today. What is one of the biggest market signals that you keep an eye on? What does it tell you?
Oh, wonderful to be back, Frances, and thank you for having me. Hey, look, I get asked this question a lot. And as you can well imagine, as soon as I turn up to a barbecue, people go, what's happening with the property market? So I went, right, how can we help everybody at a barbecue become a property expert? Now, what I will talk to you about is three key metrics that are looked at usually in the property market. Those three are price, as we all know, new listings, and total stock. So let me just break those down for a moment. New listings means the property that has come onto the market during that month. So we let's pretend like it's October. A new listing will mean that somebody has decided to put their property on the market during October. It's not a new build. Sometimes people get mixed up and be like, oh, those are just new properties that are built and coming onto the market. Hey, they might be a new build, but when you hear about new listings coming onto the market, that is properties that have come that are freshly listed onto the New Zealand property market. Now, why is that important? That tells you how busy vendors have been. So how motivated is the market to sell their property? So most portals like ourselves will compare that year on year because the property market is quite seasonal. So back to my October piece, if I am looking at October new listings, I'll typically compare that to last year. And is it up? That means vendors are more motivated this year than they were last year. Or if it's down, actually there's not as many fresh new listings coming onto the market for buyers to peruse. Now the second, and that's kind of supply, we call that new supply. Then we move into total supply. So that is really looking at all of the homes that are available for our lovely buyers to peruse. Now, they could have come onto the market in 2007 or 2024, right? It's just how much total stock is available for everybody to look at. And the reason that's really interesting is because if that is growing, that tells us that properties are coming onto the market, but buyers aren't snapping them up as quick as they could be. So if we're starting to see, as you can imagine, that pool getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it's because properties are coming onto the market, but they are not necessarily getting snapped up. So demand might be a little bit suppressed. Now, finally, that all impacts what happens with pricing. Now, I wanted to just decode pricing for a moment here too, because there's actually three types of pricing that you will hear in the market. So we've got average asking prices, which is what vendors are commanding for their property. So I'm thinking, right, my house is worth $1 million. Mr. Real Estate Agent, I'd like to put my house on the market for $1 million. and the real estate agent will either try and talk me in or out of that, depending on how unreasonable I am being as a vendor. But that tells us that this is what the market is asking for prices. So it kind of leads the trends on what's happening. And then there are sale prices. So you usually see these represented by the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, or RINES. They will let New Zealand know about what did that property sell for. So back to me as a vendor going, right, I want $1 million for my house. The real estate agent might find me a hot buyer, but they have only got $900,000 to spend. So we'll negotiate a bit and we might end up at $950,000. So while the asking price for my property was $1 million, I ended up getting $950,000 for it, and that is the sale rate. So those are quite two different numbers. The last price that you might see is valuation data. Now, what that is, that's kind of like a calculation that is done. It's an algorithm that pulls all types of information together. New listings, supply, demand, all sorts of witchcraft and wizardry that comes in to pull a valuation, which is sort of like we anticipate that this suburb or this house is valued at this based on everything that is going on in and around it. But that's a very data-led metric. So those are just sort of the key pieces that I look at, which is supply, how much is new versus how much is sticking around, that total stock. Therefore, how fast a buyer is moving, and that's when I look at what's happening with the price.
That is super interesting. Those are some good metrics to keep an eye on. When you're looking at them, I mean, how easy is it for the average person to keep an eye on them? Or is it better to do things like, obviously, you have your wonderful property report that you put out regularly. Is it better for the average person to just let you guys crunch the numbers and then check the outcome? Or is there ways that we can keep an eye on it and monitor it ourselves? What's the easiest?
Yeah, great question. So we do put out a New Zealand property report once a month. So at the beginning of every month, you can take a look at that. If you want to subscribe to that, you can do that through realestate.co.nz. But I would also say just keep an eye on the news sites as well, because they will do a lot of number crunching for you as well. And there's quite, you know, from different sources right across New Zealand as well. So I do think it is good to look at all the different sources. But when I was trying to help people to understand a little bit more, what I would say is that you've got to be careful around, well, there's a headline, and then when you read the data, you actually can go, I can decode this a little bit myself, because I know what new listings mean, or I know what valuation versus sale data mean. But yes, I do think that, look, this is a lot, but I would say the more you kind of read about it, you start to get a bit of a flavor. And if you can remind yourself of those key definitions, that's when you start to be able to not only let people decode it for you, but also have your own kind of spin on actually what that could mean. So yeah, I would recommend keep, especially if you're in the market, the more you can kind of read about it, the stronger and sort of more powerful you feel around that information and helping you to decode that market.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, God, that was what my job used to be, really, is getting reports from people like yourself and then crunching it down into an article that would hopefully make sense to someone looking at it. I think you're spot on, though, in terms of that warning around headline versus article. I actually don't subscribe to the belief that headlines are deliberately misleading. They are deliberately attention getting. We're all trying to get attention these days, but you can get the wrong end of the stick. The number of times I've clicked on something and within five lines, I'm like, that's not what I had assumed from the headline. So I think, yeah, if you are someone who is looking at buying soon, especially if you're a first home buyer and you're trying to get up to speed, or you're maybe thinking about your first investment property, super exciting. Love that for you. When you're trying to get up to speed on this stuff, read the whole article, just this once. I know we're all really busy, but just this once, read the whole article. Because like you say, it's sometimes the first time you read it, that's in isolation. You don't really have a trend to compare it to, but you'll build up your knowledge really quickly and you'll start to see what the analysts are looking at. You'll start to see what people in the industry like yourself are focusing on. And it gives you a bit more of a base. By the time you've read 2, 3, 4, 5, you're getting a feeling for the temperature in the room, right?
Absolutely. And I could not agree more. I think it always looks really scary, like anything. You know, the first time we got behind a wheel of a car, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do this. And then all of a sudden you can. And I would say, you know, property information and property data is very, very similar. There is a lot out there that you can see it on a lot of websites. And honestly, you just start by starting. Just start by reading. Just start by digesting. You know, and again, just ask questions. Ask questions of yourself. You know, ask questions on Facebook pages. You know, and just, you know, there's lots of groups you can also join that will help you decode data as well. So, you know, I highly recommend exactly just start by starting, and before you know it, you will be the barbecue expert too.
Start by starting is excellent life advice for every area, I think. That's one thing I'm going to come away with on this one. Look, when we're looking at those factors at the moment, what are we seeing at the moment? If we're checking the temperature in the room now, what's it feeling? Hot, cold? What's going on?
Yeah, we've had a very suppressed property market for about 2 years, which probably shouldn't surprise anybody with the way those interest rates got ratcheted up really quickly off the back of...
It was horrifyingly fast.
Oh, wow, I know. And when you've gone from, you know, I personally had some mortgages come up and I was like, how have I doubled my interest rate? Oh, no more new shoes for me this month. So... It was, you know, it was a bit of a challenge. But hey, look, what we have seen is that we have seen two drops in that OCR or the official cash rate, which have mean interest rates have softened. Now, what does that mean? And people say to me, Vanessa, does that mean prices are going to drop or does it mean prices are going to go up? What I can tell you is that there is a lot of stock, a lot of homes available at the moment, and they are moving slowly. So the reason for that is buyers are being more cautious, but there's also vendors are quite motivated at the moment for a myriad of reasons, I can imagine. You know, interest rates being one of those reasons, but there is a lot of stock on the market at the moment, but buyers are certainly doing their due diligence to make sure that they can purchase, you know, in a good and controlled environment. So the property market's slow at the moment. Prices have remained stable for just on 2 years. So that national average asking price is around 850 and has been for about 2 years, but plenty of homes available to buy.
Would we go as far as calling it a buyer's market then?
Yes, we would call it a buyer's market at the moment. Yep.
If you're looking for property, start with realestate.co.nz, New Zealand's longest standing property site. They've been dedicated exclusively to property since 1996. That's even before Google. Whether you're buying or renting, no other property site gives you as much information. The Market Insights feature lets you view the median asking, sale and rental prices in a suburb for over 1, 3 or even 10 years. Want to know what a property is worth? The estimated sale price range uses the latest sales figures from the real estate industry. Scroll to the bottom of a property listing to discover what it sold for in the past, the council valuation, and what you can expect to pay for it even before you view it. Become the property expert. Download the realestate.co.nz app and make informed decisions fast. Life is full of ups and downs. So no matter what your everyday looks like, Kiwi Bank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
So when we're in this sort of market where things are moving a little slower and buyers are really looking to hunt out those bargains and the people who are looking to sell are very keen to finally sell already. It's been a while and we're really wanting to move on here. Does that change how houses or properties are likely to be sold?
That is a great question because I think that is something that most people look at. We see properties being sold by auction as quite a public and just something that's very interesting. You know, we all like to see the inside of an auction room with people popping up their hands. But look, in a slower market, typically, and again, this will depend on your house and your expectations as a vendor, we are seeing less auctions and more by negotiation just because things are taking longer to sell. So a typical auction campaign is around 3 to 4 weeks, whereas a negotiation or a fixed price can give buyers a bit of confidence to go, okay, this is how much the vendor is asking for the property. now I know I'm in the ballpark or not, and buyers are more cautious in this market. Does that, you know, if you're a seller, if you're listening to this, you're going, oh my goodness, well, what does this mean for me, right? So what I would say as a seller, two key things. If you have got your property on the market, make sure you market it well. You cannot sell a secret. Because buyers are more in the driver's seat and there is less of them, you want to make sure that your property is standing out and that it's capturing all those lovely buyers. The second thing I would say is that work with a property expert around your price expectations. We are not in 2021 anymore, and that was the peak of the market. And I hear people who will put their property on the market. Let's go back to my $1 million example. You know, they want $1 million for my property. The market is just not there anymore. It might have been there in 2021, but it's not there anymore. And you can bring it to market. And remember, that costs money to bring a property to market. And so you don't want to waste that money if your expectations are too high and you're just not going to find a buyer because you haven't met the market with your price. So make sure you work with someone in your area, a real estate agent probably, and go, hey, look, this is what I'm expecting for my house. And if they say, Vanessa, it's nice that you wanted $1 million, you're probably going to get 800. Make a decision based on that, because you don't want to spend all this money marketing your property expecting to get that $1 million when actually the market's only really willing to pay 800. And the only final thing I would say is that, you know, if you're buying and selling in the same market, actually that might be okay. Why, you might have needed $1 million 2 years ago to buy an or upscale or downscale. Now, actually, because the market's moved, it's moved right across everywhere, that you actually might need less money to outlay into that next move for you as well. So definitely take that into account.
And I think your point there about, you know, talking to people and getting opinions of people who are in the industry, really important. The other point on that is make sure you do listen to them. And I say that with love because I know it's really important, especially if you've got a big mortgage and you're looking to sell and you're a bit worried about things. It might not always be what you want to hear. I understand that that sucks, but get multiple opinions if you want. Don't go for the one that's closest to what you want to hear. Take the temperature across what they're all telling you, because it is emotional. It is a really important thing on how much money you're going to get from a property, but you've still got to take that on board and deal with the facts as much as you can, because when you're willing to face it head on and say, okay, this is just what the situation is, it's not what I necessarily want, but then what do we do from there? That's far more of a position of power than going with a real estate agent who maybe says, yeah, no, totally, I can get you $1 million, maybe even $1.1 million, while the other three who you've talked to have said, this isn't going to work. It's probably, if that's the one outlier, it's probably still not going to work. So as much as you can, listen to those experts. I know it's hard, but take it on board, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's that heart versus head piece, isn't it? It's like, you know, we are very emotional about our properties. I mean, we live in them. Our children grow up in them, or our parents visit us in them. You know, we have an emotional connection to these places that we live. And of course, we look at our bank accounts every month and go, oh, goodness, you know, these are costing me a lot of money. So we have a lot of emotion tied up in our home and where we live as well. So when it comes to that transaction piece and when it comes to changing those, you can understand how we get emotional about it. But, you know, you're dead right. Think about, use your head in this scenario and go, right, let's crunch the numbers and let's listen to the experts so that we don't actually waste money, because you don't want to spend all that money coming to market, not getting the $1 million, and then going, my goodness, we've just spent $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 on marketing. It's wasted.
Yep. Marketing, photography, whatever else that goes into it. All of which, like you say, you want to stand out. If you're actually going to sell, you do need to spend that money. But if you're hoping to sell for more and you're not going to accept anything less than that, then that could be expenses that maybe you should just skip. Thank you so much. That's Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz giving us the inside word there on how to keep an eye on what's going on in the property market, where it's going next. If you have more questions on this, I mean, we could deep dive into any of those areas Vanessa laid out. So send me questions on which bits you'd like to know more about. We can talk about that in a future episode. You can find me at Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Frances Cook NZ. Also, heaps more money content on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so that you never miss a trick with your money. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.